Okay, I think that's working. So welcome to church, and also welcome to those who are joining us online as well. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'll be speaking from that passage that was read for us today. Today's sermon title is Spiritual Safety. The theme of today is safety. That's why we were discussing what makes us feel safe earlier. We're going to see from this passage what makes us truly safe. I'm going to pray as we head into the talk, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it shows your wisdom. And in particular, Lord, we thank you that your word often gives us what we need to know rather than what we want to know. And Lord, we pray that we may receive that wisdom today. Please help us to know you better and to live in a way appropriate to the times we're in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest desires that parents have for their children is for them to be safe. When I think about my own kids, I know I'm not going to be able to shield them from all the troubles and sufferings of the world, but I want to protect them from some. And that's why our kids go to swimming lessons, so that they will be safe in the water. It's why they go to karate classes, so that they will have a chance if someone attacks them. It's why we tell them, if someone tells you to go with them, you don't go with them, and you come straight back to your mum and dad, and you tell us what they said. It's why we tell them there's a lot of dangerous things that you will see on the internet, and so you tell us if you see something that is wrong. Great desire that parents have for their children is for them to be safe. One of the things that really encouraged me was a dad who had a secret code for his teenage kids to send on their phones if they were in a really difficult situation. And so if there was ever kind of sex or drugs or alcohol, something that made their kids feel uncomfortable, all they had to do was send an SMS to a fellow family member with just the letter X. Whoever receives the message, they call the kid up and they say, look, something's come up and I've got to pick you up right now. I'll tell you what it's about when I get there. Let me know where you are right now. I am on my way. And so they'll just come in and get the kid out of the situation. I thought it was a really good way for parents to have a quick, efficient, trustworthy and face-saving way as well to protect their kids. Because one of the great desires that parents have for their children is for them to be safe. I wonder whether you can think in your own family of some of the things your parents have done for you to keep you safe. Maybe they've given you some really good life advice. Maybe they've warned you against certain people. Maybe they taught you how to protect yourself or even just made sure that you got a good education and a stable job. You know, a lot of what our parents do for us is engineered to keep us safe. At the same time, though, I also want to ask you, are you really safe? Most of us would be able to say that, look, what our parents have done for us, the way that they've structured their lives, the way that they've structured our lives as well, it's made us reasonably safe from things like poverty, from physical danger, from natural disasters, from financial scams. But what if there's a danger that we've all overlooked? What if there's a danger that none of these things could protect against? What if there's a spiritual danger that faces us? You know, we talked before about all the things that make us feel safe in this society. How many of those things can protect you spiritually? How safe are you from that? In our passage today, God shows us the danger that we really need to be made safe from. And it's almost the case that if you are not safe from this particular danger, there is no point in being safe from any other danger. But God in his goodness and love not only shows us the danger, but also shows us how to get safe from it. Last week we heard about grieving with hope. We heard about the fact that Jesus' resurrection drives our faith that we're going to be with Jesus in heaven after we die. And that when Jesus returns, the dead are going to be raised and then be with Christ. They're going to be the first in line. And then after that, those who are left on the earth will be with Jesus too. But the big question that wasn't answered last week was, when is all this going to happen? When will Jesus return and finally bring perfect peace and justice to the world? When are the dead going to be raised? When are people going to be judged? And that's the big question that our passage today answers. And in light of that, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we truly safe? And how do we get safe? So first, are we truly safe? We see the answer to that question in verses 1 to 3. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So firstly, when is this day of the Lord going to happen? When is Jesus going to return? Well, the Bible says it's not ours to know. The Bible says that Jesus will return like a thief in the night or labor pains on a pregnant woman. You don't know when those things are going to happen. There are times when me or a people I know have had their property stolen. Once someone duplicated my ATM card and withdrew all the money in my account. One of my friends who used to live a few streets away from me, she told me how at night some people came into her house while her whole family was sleeping upstairs and stole stuff from the ground floor. When I was in high school, there was an outbreak of people stealing magic cards, which caused the whole thing to be banned by the deputy principal. And so theft happens. It happens to people. But never in my experience have I heard of anyone receiving a letter from their thief, making an appointment to burgle their place at a particular date and time. You know, labor pains are the same, aren't they? If you're pregnant, you don't ask the doctor, when am I going to go into labor? Because the answer is, they don't know. And you don't know. Labor could happen at 26 weeks. It could happen at 42 weeks. It could happen during the day. It could happen at 2 a.m. at night, like it did with Jen and Naomi. The longest pregnancy ever recorded was a woman named Beulah Hunter in 1945. Her pregnancy lasted 375 days. That's more than 3 months overdue. You know, no one knows when they're going to go into labor. Doctors are good, but they're not that good. And it's the same with God. God has not made an appointment with us about when that last day is going to be. And therefore, anyone who claims that they know when Jesus is going to return is going against what God has revealed in the Bible. The return of Jesus is not like a written exam where because you know the date, you can cram for it 2 days before or 1 day before or 2 hours before. And then you can pass it and then immediately forget about it afterwards. No, God wants it to come as a surprise, probably, so we can't cheat it like that. We don't know when the day of the Lord is going to come. But the other thing, the thing that I want to draw to your attention from this passage that it shows us about the day of the Lord is that it's not going to be safe. And it will happen when people think they're safe. People will be saying peace and safety when Jesus returns. But when it comes to Jesus, they will not be safe at all. And this should come as a shock to us, I think. Because the place that we are currently in, right here and now, is one of the safest places in the whole wide world. Unlike other places in the world, we don't have missiles soaring over our heads. We don't have militiamen rolling into our towns and abducting our children. We don't have people dying in the streets. We don't have people suddenly disappearing, abducted by the government. On the contrary, you know, in our country, we have quite a lot of freedom. We have unemployment benefits and government-sponsored healthcare. We have a functioning police force. We have COVID vaccines to spare. We are used to being safe. Now, if you're in Sydney and you are not saying peace and safety, well, I'm not sure what would be peace and safety for you. Except that none of those things that I just talked about, none of those things that lead to us feeling safe, are going to help us when Jesus comes to judge. If Jesus has determined that you be punished for your sins, there is no army strong enough to fight him. There's no amount of wealth large enough to bribe him. And there's no vaccine clever enough to protect against him. And there's nowhere that we can run that will be safe from him. The singer Nina Simone wrote and sang a song, O Sinner Man. It's gone through various remixes over the years. These lyrics that I've got here come from a band named The Weavers. And it goes, run to the moon, moon, won't you hide me? Run to the sea, sea, won't you hide me? Run to the sun, sun, won't you hide me? All on that day. Lord said, sinner man, moon will be a bleeding. Lord said, sinner man, sea will be a sinking. Lord said, sinner man, sun will be a freezing. All on that day. You see, there's nothing in the world that is going to keep us safe from Jesus if we are still in our sins. And so do you feel safe? If you think you are, if you're relying on your health and your wealth and your possessions and the society that you are in to keep you safe, if you're a person saying peace and safety, then you've got to be warned. Because the Bible says, God says, that you are not safe at all. None of the things that you have will protect you from Jesus. You are not safe from him. And of course, that leads us to the next obvious question. Well, how do we get safe? People have all sorts of ideas on how to get safe with Jesus. Maybe you can get safe by being baptized. Or maybe you can get safe by being circumcised. Like having this procedure is some sort of spiritual immunization. Other people might think that they get safe by signing on to a particular religion, maybe kind of marking it on the census, going to church every now and then. Which religion, though? Well, there's lots to choose from. It's a bit of a lottery whether you're going to pick the right one or not. Kind of confuses me a little bit when people try those things to try and keep them safe spiritually from God, as if they think that God or Jesus would be fooled by any of that. You know, it's kind of like trying to flash a fake ID in front of the most experienced police officer, isn't it? Like, it's not going to work. And it's even more confusing why people try that, because Jesus clearly gives us the right way to get safe with him in the Bible, if people would just read it. You see, we see how to get safe in verses 4 to 10. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The basic question being asked here is, do you belong to the night or do you belong to the day? Are you a night person or are you a day person? Now, this is not talking about whether you are like a morning person or a night person, whether you like kind of hanging out at nightclubs or whether you prefer waking up in the morning to get your work done. It sounds weird, but being a night person or a day person in this passage is about where your spiritual senses are at. Because what kind of people do you get at night? Well, from the passage, you get people who are asleep. You get people who are drunk. What do people who are asleep and people who are drunk have in common? Well, in both cases, their senses are blunted. They're oblivious to what's going on around them. And both kinds of people are prime targets for thieves in the night. And so the people of the night here are people who aren't aware that Jesus is returning soon. They aren't aware that they need to get safe with him. They aren't aware that Jesus is quite dangerous, especially to people who are in their sins. They're the people who will be saying peace and safety when destruction comes on them suddenly. Whereas the people of the day are opposite. They aren't asleep. They aren't drunk. They are alert. They know that if Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night, then the only way to prepare for Jesus is to be ready all the time. Like those English guards with the red coats and the black fur hats, they don't get distracted. They're always vigilant. They're always on duty. They're never on holiday, never on break from being Christian, never on break from being in Christ. At any time, if anyone asks them, are you ready for Jesus' return? They would say yes. And how do they know that they're ready for Jesus' return? Not because of something they did, or not because of something that was done to them in the past, not because of some ritual that they have, not because of some decision that they made in the height of emotion. Not because they wear the right badges and tick the right boxes and know the right answers. In this passage, it's because of the way that they're living that they are safe with Jesus. They are self-controlled. They're living a life where they are restraining what they want and doing what God wants them to do instead. They have an almost allergic revulsion to self-indulgence in their lives. They have lives of faith and love. Faith is trust, so they trust Jesus enough to believe his words and obey them. And they live in love. They do what is best for others, not themselves. And they have the hope of salvation. They see that this world is broken, but they also know that nothing that we do on this earth is going to fix it. Sin is always going to be with us at this side of Jesus. And so their hope for themselves and the world is not in better technology or better government or better morals, but in Jesus returning to bring this world out of sin, death, and decay. And they are waiting and praying for Jesus to do so. And in verse 11, they are encouraging and building each other up with this hope. These are people who are hope spreaders. They point people to heaven, not to lives on this earth. They encourage people to trust and love and hope like they do. Does that life sound like the life that you're living? Or does your life sound closer to the sign the form, tick the box, try and flash that fake ID in front of Jesus kind of life? Are you truly aware that Jesus will come back like a thief in the night? Are you ready? And do you want others to be ready? Because this is how you get ready. We get ready by having lives of faith, love, hope, and self-control. One of the greatest desires that parents have for their children is for them to be safe. One of the great values that we have in our society is safety. That's why we have instructions for safety everywhere. We've got speed limits, school zones, no smoking signs, social distancing restrictions. All those things are right and all those things are good, but maybe as we look at those, as we think about our own safety and the safety of our children and the safety of others, I think we'd do well to think to ourselves, are we truly safe? Are we safe with God, the place where safety matters most? Are we alert to the fact that Jesus is coming soon? Are we living like we expect Jesus to come and find us holy and blameless in him? Trusting in his gospel, living lives of faith, hope, and love. That is what will make us truly safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown us from your word that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And so, Heavenly Father, as we don't know exactly when or how that's going to come, Lord, we pray that we may be ready at all times for it. Please help us to be alert. Please help us not to say peace and safety and trust in worldly things for our peace and safety, knowing that if we are in our sins, we are unsafe with you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins to make us right with you. We pray that we may commit to living that life of self-control, of faith, hope, and love as we await Jesus' return, living a life that's consistent with the fact that we have repented from our sins and seek to follow your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we may know that this makes us truly safe with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.